עזרא פרק ט.
וכחלות אלה ניגשו אלי השרים לאמור, לא נבדלו העם, ישראל והכהנים והלוויים מעמי הארצות, כתואבותיהם לכנעני החיטי, הפריזי, היבוסי, העמוני, המואבי, המצרי והאמורי. When all of this was over, now we're going to see in the next parak that when all of this was over, actually the events here are 4 months later. That means they must have been quite busy during those original 4 months. And in that time, all that we know that was done was setting up the Gizborut and the Beit HaMikdash, the presenting of the credentials to the various ambassadors and Achashtar Panim and the people that hadn't seen the letter from the king, and to secure the funding for the all of the things that the Melech had promised, and the Nesiyat Ha'am, which was the closing of the previous parak, V'nisuat Ha'am V'et Beit Elokim. And it's interesting that nobody spoke up during those entire 4 months, leaving Ezra under the misapprehension that all he had to do was take care of things like Minui Dayanim, Shoftim, and seeing to it that things were sort of organized in an institutional fashion. And only after all of that was finished, V'chalot Ele, did some of the Sarim come over to him to tell him that things are not as good as he thinks, and that the main idea that he had had of seeing to it that he would be Mafrish, the various pedigrees, that he would be Oimed to be Meyachis Yisroel, which we spoke about earlier as being one of the first elements of Geula, and it's what Eliyahu Navi comes to be Osik in, and the Melech HaMashiach is Osik in, as the Rambam says, Latid Lavo. They finally tell him after he finishes, and this I think is a very important insight on the centrality of proper planning and timing, and each thing is correct at its time, but one doesn't lose sight of infrastructure in order to take care of the things that ultimately must need to be taken care of. And what's fascinating is that in the end of the story, we'll see in next week's parak, the people that are addressed make exactly the same point, which is remarkable. So it begins with this idea and closes with this idea. But what appears to be an absolute disaster that should have been dealt with immediately wasn't even mentioned. And that is the fact that all of the leading Sarim come to let Ezra know that it has become acceptable, at least to the extent that nothing has been done about it, for people to intermarry. And they have been marrying Goyim. Ki nasu mibnotehem lahem v'livnehem. They've taken the non-Jewish daughters for themselves, made shiduchim for their sons. V'hit arvu zera hakodesh ba'amei ha'aratzot. We already saw before that terminology, zera hakodesh. The idea over here is to be miyachet specifically the genetic information of Kedusha. It's a remarkable idea. The Rambam actually uses this idea in discussing the inyan of the mixture, which I'll get to in a moment. And not only this, but v'yad ha'sarim v'ha'siganim hayta b'ma'al hazeh rishona. The way that this whole thing got started was that the people that were on top over here, they were the ones who started this, and other people have followed. And as the Medrash puts it, im lo yechtu v'yimalu ha'sarim techila ina k'tanim osim klum. You have to have a good TV show to give you the idea first, then you can go ahead and do it. But it's got to be acceptable before you start thinking about doing things yourself. You don't need the idea. That's the mistake people have about TV. They think it gives people ideas to murder, rape, kill, all these things. They don't need TV for the idea. But what they need is to see that society views these things and that, people do this, it's sort of okay. So once you have somebody doing that, so then everybody follows. Others, of course, learn that it really means not that they personally were involved. We're going to see, actually, that even though they make it sound like, my gosh, this is common, everybody's doing it, we're actually talking about a very tiny proportion of the population. But once again, when nothing is done about things, the people on top are held responsible for the fact that nothing was done. And this now comes under the purview of Ezra's Shlichut, to establish the Dinei HaTorah, but most importantly, to establish the concept of Zera Kodesh. Uchishami et hadavar hazeh, when I heard this, karati et bigdi umi'eli, I tore my coat and I tore my clothing, v'emrata misa'ar roshi, I tore out my hair from my head, from my beard, v'eshva mishomem, I was in such utter shock that I just sat down on the ground and I just couldn't think. So mishomem is a lashon either of shituk, and it's a It means not being able to speak. It's a lotion of desolation, mishumam, desolate, devastation. So I was utterly devastated. Ve'elai ye'asfu kol charet b'divrei Elohei Yisrael al mal ha'golah. And around me gathered all those. Now, there's two ways of learning this. Charet b'divrei Elohei Yisrael, as one word, those who were feeling the charada, people translate it as fear and trembling, but that we find by Shmuel that it says Vayecharad kol ha'ir likrato. And what have you come near for? That's obviously not fear and trembling. It's a lotion of mihirut and zrizut. People who care is what it means. Sometimes chared al adavar means that he's moved, he's concerned, he's emotional, he's passionate about something. So those who are chored for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they came to discuss with me Mal HaGolah. That's one way of understanding it. The other one is that those who are chored b'divrei Elokei Yisrael al Mal HaGolah. In other words, they were indeed in fear and trembling over what had happened about the Mal HaGolah, the fact that people should act this way, and that caused them to sense a revulsion and fear of the punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vani yoshev mishomem, and I'm sitting there devastated, ad l'mincha ta'arev, until the zman of mincha. Now, the question is, what was really going on here? And I must tell you that things are not as simple as they seem. Because what it is that was mentioned to him was that kito avotehem laknani, hachiti, haprizi, hayivusi, haamoni, vamoavi. None of these people were there. As Chazal says, Sancheirav already came. Come, and he was mevalvel et kol ha'umot. People, none of these Knanim were around. The Prizim weren't around. So when it says that they were keto avetehim, what it means is that he is basically giving us a message here that is also a paid political announcement, and I'll explain to you why. But what he's saying over here is that ultimately what has happened is that ki nasumi b'notehim is the explanation of how it is that people came to act like the Knani, Chiti, Aprizi, Avusi. So in other words, all those things that the Torah warned us about, that not to do ketoaivot, this is a key word that we find in the Torah a number of times. So the Havdola mina amim is in terms of toivot. So we find, for instance, in the parsha of Arayot, all of those things are called toivot. And those the nations that were there before you did these things. Be careful, so that the land doesn't vomit you out. So this is in Kedosh, in Achrimites. In Kedoshim we have exactly the same thing. So that means that this is a very profound remiss to the nature of the toivot. So we're talking about not the marriage per se, but adarab, we're talking about a complete breakdown of sexual morality, together with all of the other issues that are mentioned in that context, like Oviedoni, Molech, and things like that. Those are called toivot. The problem is that the actual marriage to the non-Jew is not so obviously asur. And this was the thing that I'm calling a paid political announcement. So if you take a look in the tour, the way the tour paskins is like this. First, he brings the Rambam. Someone who is Baal Akutit Bishara Akum, which was the word Kutit, was changed from because of the censors. It means a Goya. Derech Ishut, Lokemen HaTorah. So somebody who sleeps with a non-Jewish woman as he would, as if he were married to her. So in other words, this does not include Stam having a one-night affair with a woman. That's not included in this Isser. O Yisraeli Chenivala Lakum, again Derech Ishut, Lokemen HaTorah Mishum Lotit Chaten. This is true whether referring to the Shiva'a Amim, who are the nations mentioned here, and so on, or any other Akum. Echot kol akum b'isur ze. Atkam. Says the Torah, v'nireh li, that this is not true. There is no isur to marry a non-Jew. It's only b'shiv'a amim. D'lo kaimelan k're b'shim'on. The Megumara brings that all of the isurim that are mentioned in the Torah of lo titchaten ba are mentioned about the amim that are in Eretz Yisrael at the time, who are the shiv'a amim that Yoshua was married for B'nai Israel. Never says that other women are us. So the Gemara says, how do you know that other non-Jewish women are included? So it brings a raya from the pasuk that continues after saying lo titchaten bam. It says ki yasir pincha me'achara. They will turn your children away from me. Why does it have to say that? Says Rabbi Shimon. It has to say that in order to include any other nation, because it's coming to say all who would turn aside your children. Now lamaisa, the Gemara says that that's only true according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who says that all psukim are meant to be understood logically. We don't need the Torah to tell us reasons. Therefore, if the Torah does tell us reasons, it's coming to add something. It's because of that, according to him, it's adding anyone who would be Mesir. Says the Torah, but we don't paskin that way anywhere else. And therefore, we shouldn't paskin like Rabbi Shimon here either. In which case, midiorayta, there is no Isser of marrying anyone but the Shiva Ami. So the first thing is that you see what Ezra is trying to do is immediately go with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Because he's saying, they ended up doing all of these toivot. Why? Kinasim even at the end. So he's comparing the Kenani, Amori, Prizi, and so on to any of the Amim that they took who had nothing to do with them. These were the Amim that had been brought in by Sanherib and subsequent rulers to take the place of the indigenous population. And clearly the Sarim who were in this Mal, as mentioned in the Pasuk before, were of the opinion that there's no Isser. Is it their only Azi the Shiva Amim? The Rabbanan hadn't come up with the Gezerah against such a thing. So Mimela, they simply said, okay, you know, they seem like very good women, and everything is fine. Now, Lemaisa.
Conversion or anything?
Without conversion. Without conversion.
Then idol worship?
Not necessarily.
Maybe.
It's not necessary. So in other words, Ezra went out to be Eker intermarried completely. And Lemaisa, as we know, Kanoim Pogimbo is halacha that is said on any non-Jewish. Why? Because it's considered to be, as the Gemara says, and this is our identification of Ezra with Malachi, the makor for the idea of the richuk, of the extreme richuk. As the Gemara asks, what happens if Kanoim are not Pogimbo? Kanoim Pogimbo, okay, but if Kanoim are not Pogimbo, there's no Isser in Beis Din. So what exactly would happen to such a person? So the Gemara says, the Gemara brings the lashon like this. I printed the top for many times. Brings the Pasuk in Malachi, Bagda Yehuda, V'toeva ne'esta b'Yisrael of Yerushalayim, Ki chilel Yehuda, and here's exactly, this is the lashon of Malachi, Ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Adonai asher ahav, Uva'al bat el nechar, Yachret Adonai le'ish asher yasena erva ona, Mi'ole Yaakov u'medish minchal Adonai tzvaot. So these were the words of Malachi, and this was the reason that the Gemara said it's clear to them that Ezra is Malachi. Because besides the fact that, I mean, the whole idea of Malachi is the Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi and so on, which is the closure, which is everything that Ezra is doing, is the recreation, as Ezra Sofer, of Zichru Torat Moshe. But this idea of clarifying the concept of Zera Kodesh is something that, as we mentioned before, was his whole life. And the Rambam actually brings, you know, the din of marrying an Eved or Shifra, which is even less in a sense, because they're partially Jewish. So he says, Al Yehei, and there he too has the problem that it's not a Diyaraita, even according to his Shita. He says, Al Yehei Avon Ze Kal Be'enecha, Mipnei She'en Bo Malkut Min HaTorah. Just because the Torah wasn't Mechayev Malkut doesn't mean that this is not a very serious issue. Why is that? Even though the Eved is keeping mitzvot. Sha'ben hu Eved v'nimtza gorem l'zera ha-kodesh, uses exactly that word, l'hitchalel liyot avadim. So in other words, it isn't even necessarily the idea of chilel yudat kodesh Hashem asher ahav, as the Gemara says, ba'al bat el nechar, that anybody who sleeps with an non-Jewish woman, it's as if he actually had intercourse with an avodah zarah. In other words, the connection, the attraction is so profound to a completely different paradigm and worldview that without realizing it, he's completely sucked up into a different universe. And this, the Rambam is explaining, that chilul doesn't have to be in terms of behavior. It's a matter of status. And where do you live, really, in that you're translating your children into a different reality? Lamaisa, we see an astonishing thing in this thing, which is that Kanoim Pogimbo can be a response, which is a summary execution. I mean, it's like the greatest possible response. And yet, if that doesn't happen, then Beis Din can't act at all. That seems to be like an extreme. So it's clear that what's going on over here is that we're talking about two completely different levels. On the level of the individual and his sin, his sexual sin, there may not even be a sexual sense involved. That's a machlokas. Yes, no, whatever, drabonan. The issue over here is not about sex. The issue is about zerakot. That's the whole point. It's about the entry into a different universe and not respecting and understanding the entire development from Maisa Bereishis of the uniqueness of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is attempting to bring out. So on a personal level, you know, big deal. It's not the type of thing which has that type of kilkul on a personal level that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazir. It's the impact of it in terms of the overall chilul Hashem and the recognition of chilul zera kodesh. That's the idea. And therefore, it's looked at in a completely different sense. The way other people see it and respond to it as a chilul could be kanoim pogimbo. Those who really care and who understand it, but not if they have to ask what the halacha is, then they're not allowed to act. If they come to Beis Din and they report, this guy is in the middle of sleeping with this woman, what should we do? It's none of your business. Don't do anything. It's only if the person feels that he can't stand this, that it's destroying his world, that he's able to respond. This is a completely new thing. It's a response not on the level of the persona, not on the level of the individual, and not on the level of the way that Beis Din Shomata responds to things, but entirely on a different level of sensitivity. This may be why it keeps stressing the Kol Chared B'Dvar Hashem. It's not just that the leaders came. It was B'davka, those who felt passionately about the issues. And so, therefore, what we're talking about over here has to be measured on a totally different plane, which is remarkable. And I think I mentioned earlier that the Zohar actually translates this idea of entry into a different reality, in which now Zera Kodesh is Mechulo, into a very physical, almost gross issue, which is the sense of the insertion of Bris Mila into a different world. And that's mamish the way that the Zohar will always talk about it. Yichniz Brit Kodesh b'makom acher, l'rishus acher. That's the idea. And therefore, it's a completely different type of reaction that Ezra has over here. His reaction is something that destroys him. You see how he's responding to it. We have similar issues later on in the family with Chilul Shabbat and so on. But this is something that, and nowhere near as dramatic as this. You'd think that it would be much more dramatic if you're talking about an Isser Skila versus something that may not even be Usser. But that's the whole point. And here this contradicts everything that Ezra stands for, everything that he's trying to achieve. That's why it takes him and his reaction to make a difference. And the way that he makes a difference is not by giving Musser to people. Very interestingly, he doesn't go out to teach people and to insist that something be done. What he does is he shows by the example of his own responsiveness to it the extent at which this is important, which nobody had recognized. Because again, you find people like this all the time. The halachic vision is very restricted. Okay, so what's the yisr? So can we tell you precisely what you're doing wrong? And we could find a heter for this and that. And, you know, okay, so what's the difference? His responsibility is on an entirely different plane. And he had to share the passion of that responsiveness. And therefore, the rest of the parak essentially describes the passion of his response. The words that he uses in the course of his parak have become words that we use in all of our tefillas for tshuva, slichas, and so on, because they are meant to be this immediate outpouring from the level of concern of someone like Ezra. And what's more, they also indicate again and again his awareness of the historical process. Because in a sense, what he's doing is exactly what Yoshua did before he died. He finished Yerushat Haaretz. Now this is Kichalot Kol Eile. We've now finished our equivalent of Yerushat Haaretz. We've rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. We've set up what needs to be done. And there was Yoshua Zaken Baba Yamim, And his closing words, he calls everybody together. Vayikra Yehoshua l'chol Yisrael, l'zikeinav, l'roshav, l'shoftav, l'shotrav. He tells them, I'm about to die, and he's a kanti bati b'yamim. And he closes his speech with, Ki'im shov tashuvu, udvaktem b'yeter ha'goyim ha'ele, anish arim itchem. Ha'ele itchem. V'itchantantem b'hem uvatem b'hem v'hem b'chem, yodoha tedu ki lo yosif adonai elohechem lo rishet ha'goyim ha'ele. Milifnechem, v'ayu lachem l'pach ulamokesh, ul'shotet b'tzidechem, v'litzninim b'inechem, adavotchem me'ala adama ha'tova hazot. And we know the extent of the hakpada from the moment that Shlomo HaMelech took Bat Paro, even though she was a Gioret, as the Rambam points out. It's just that there was too much psychological pressure on her to view that as a kosher gerus, even though halachically and technically it was. But it was at that moment, as the Gemara says, that Rome was founded, in a sense. Came Bar Malach and started the process of silting up the ground on which Rome was built. So in other words, the ultimate korban of the second Beit HaMikdash had its roots in the ma'al of the Sarim, not to mention that that was the source, the direct source, of the breakdown of the Aseres HaShvatim. Because it was Yerovam ben Nevat who had given Musar to Shlomo at that time, and that started the whole breakdown. And it was mamish in terms of the Beit HaMikdash. It didn't wake up for the chinuch of the Beit HaMikdash. So all of these things were profoundly interrelated. He is sensitive to that history, as we'll see in his words, and he's also sensitive to the fact that in Daniel, as the Malbim points out, the Malach had told Daniel that this was a chance to fix the Avanot, and that this Beit HaMikdash could possibly turn into something real. That was the period that was Nigzar on Klal Yisrael to fix things. And he's aware of this, and he's showing them that this is the way we respond to the opportunities to fix things. God help us. That's the tenor of his words. So now let's read what it is, how it is that he responds. So this was until Minchata Erev. Kamti mita aniti. I got up despite the fact that I hadn't eaten the whole day. And from a state, despite the fact that I was in a state of wearing worn, ripped clothing, I bowed down on my knees and spread my hands out to Hashem. We don't spread our hands out to Hashem anymore. By the way, this is brought la'alocha, that the derech used to be for tefillah, was to spread one's hands. But when that came to be a non-Jewish mode of tefillah, just like many things were changed because the Christians took it on as the way they... So this is brought by the Reb Kiveger. We don't use that anymore. In any event, we learn out from here in the Gemara the Seder of the Taniyot. This is our halachic vision of what a model Ta'anit is, because we see from here that at the beginning of the day, everybody gathered around to discuss the Ma'al. And then from Mincha time on, Ezra gets up and he davens, as the Gemara says, Mitzafra Kinufya, from the morning, gathered together, which means, says Abaya, Mitzafra Lepalkad Yuma Ma'inina Babili Damata, from the morning until midday, you get together with the leaders to look into what needs to be Mitukan, what is the source of the problems, exactly as happened over here. And after that, the rest of the day is used for Iyun and the Torah and Tefillah and so on. Ask the Gemara, maybe we should do it the other way. Start the day off with the Tefillah? No. Lo sakatayitach. Tichtiv. Ve'elai ye'asfu kol charet bidvrei elokei Yisrael. Va'ani yoshev meshomem ad le'minchat ha'erev. U'be'minchat ha'erev kamti mita'aniti. Therefore, we see from here the Seder Hayom of Tanis. This is brought in Masechet Tanit. So this is you could read it just as a story, but it's seen as mamish, a model for what it was that Ezra had set out to achieve, and that we take on ourselves in the chance to be metake, because he was fundamentally aware of the period that was given for Tikkun. Va'omra, what I said was Elohai, Boshti v'nichlamti. You'll note that these are tefillas that we say all the time. Boshti v'nichlamti la'arim Elohai panai alecha. I'm too embarrassed and... Why did they translate the different two? Ashamed and... Okay, so boshti comes from the word for shame. And as the Malbim points out, it's an internal sense. You could feel busha without anybody else knowing about it. It's like veloyit boshashu. The point is to be bosh by your own shortcomings. To be nichlam is where you're embarrassed from others. And here, both senses are true. So boshti v'nichlamti, להורים אלוהי פני, להורים, even lifting up my face to you. כי אבונותינו רבו למעל הראש, ישבתינו גדל לשמיים. What it is that we've done is just, it's over our heads already. So a beautiful medrash talks about a marshal. Marshal to a guy who's crossing a stream that has a muddy bottom, and he's carrying on his head a ton of, you know, rocks and things he's trying to get the other side. And he gets to the middle of the stream, and he's sinking, and it's getting over his nose. And somebody tells him, hey, idiot, throw off the rocks so you can get up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the same thing. What are you, crazy? Yazov Rasha Darko, before you sink, it's over your head. So this is Lamala Rosh, that's what's causing us to sink down. And our guilt has gone all the way up to the sky. From the days of our forefathers, we're doing the same kind of things through this very day. This, of course, is what the Rambam points out in Hilchot Ta'anit, that all of the Ta'aniyot that are engaged in by the Tzibur as a whole are there to establish this point, that nothing has changed, that we can't seem to get out of these patterns that are so profoundly ingrained, that even when they're not noticeable originally, and you think it's just this, but you see where it leads, you understand that it's all the same shagaz. Uba avonoteinu, because of our common avonot, nitano anachnu melacheinu kohanenu biyad malchei aratzot. Look what happened to us. We were handed over, us, the regular people, and our kings, and our kohanim, into the hands of non-Jewish kings, b'cherev, b'shevi, uvabizah, uvaboshet panim kayom hazeh. Look at the situation that we're in today. Basically, completely dependent on things that we would have laughed at once upon a time. And now we're looked down upon, given over to being killed, captured, kidnapped. V'ata, now we have a little bit of a chance. Kim'at rega. I mean, what is it? It's been a few years. What's the point? 50 years. What's the point? Well, you're already starting to feel secure. Sounds familiar. So you're already starting to feel secure. Now we don't have to worry. We've had this little break from the horrors. And ha'ita techinami et Adonai Eloheinu. For no reason other than to give us a chance. Le'ashir lanu, just to give us a break. Le'ashir lanu pleita. And give us, interesting that in English we use the same word, to give us a stake. Yatet is a stake. To give us a stake in this mokum of Kedusha. So we should feel that we have some investment here. God has given us the opportunity to become enlightened. And you're in the middle of our avdut. We're all avadim. And you better realize we're all avadim. We're basically avadim to Daryovesh. We exist here because God has allowed us this little area miraculously for the opportunity. And don't you forget, ki avadim anachnu. Don't forget that. That's what we are. It's in the midst of that state. It's not that we've been mitaken anything. It's that this is an opportunity where HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't forget about us even in the depths of servitude. And gave us now these moments of chesed. This Gemara says was even in terms of Achashverosh. That was the chesed that was Matzu Yisrael from the whole Ma'is of Purim. Latet lanu michya. To give us now a little bit of our own world, our own freedom. Yichya is not just what to eat, but it's to a life of our own. To give us a life of our own. L'romemet beit Eloheinu, a chance to uplift the house of Hashem. L'hamidet chorvotav, to rebuild its broken leftovers. V'latet lanu gader b'yudav Yerushalayim, and to give us now, perhaps not a real home. Some say the pshat is gader. Comes from Gidrot Tzon. Gidrot Tzon means just like little, you build like a little fence where the sheep, well, you think we're really settled here? Is that what you're thinking? You know, you may have a place to stay, like Tzon have a place to stay when you build, you know how reliable and secure the way we are right now. That's a beautiful, beautiful way of putting it. But there's also some say that it's a remez to the gader, meaning asay siyag l'torah. The siyag is a gader. And the asay siyag l'torah was essentially the accomplishment. That's the first mission in Avot. That's the accomplishment of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, which is what Ezra actually was his best, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And so some say it's a reference to those takanot, the siyag, that this was the time that Ezra made his 10 takanot. And this was that your Kaira and the Torah and Mincha and Shabbos, Sheni v'Chamishi, at Batei Dinim Dan b'Sheni v'Chamishi, that there's a lot of discussion in the Gemara exactly what that means, because there was an older Takana. And the Gemara comes out that it means the way in which we're in the number of Pesukim, the number of Aliyahs, and so on. And that there needs to be the washing of the clothes b'Chamishi b'Shabbos to prepare, that you have to eat Shum b'Erev Shabbos, that there should be a early morning baking of Challah, that... it's a weird takana to us, but that women should wear underpants, and that there should be a din of chafifa before tefillah, and that there should always be Avon salesmen that are given free access to cities, so that women will always be able to buy whatever it is that they need. And he was also metakein tefillah for balei keri, which comes again from Kabbalah Satera. That's the Eimar Etet V'Zeyah. Shlosh Yomim Al Tikshor L'Isha, that's exactly part of Ezra's takana in general. But in any event, some say that that's good for what it was a remiss to. Yeah, that, it used to be that you just check your body to see that there was no chatzitza, but he was mitakein that you can't rely just on looking, that you have to shampoo and wash and so on. But in any event, look how fortunate we are that we have just this little stake. V'ata manu marlo ino acharei zot. What are we supposed to say now? Gezavnu mitzvotecha. After all of this, we were ozev the mitzvahs? Because as the Malach had said to Daniel, shvuayim shivim, nechtach alamcha, that there were these 77 now. And again, we spoke about all that before in Daniel. L'chalei pesha l'chaper avon. That was the point of this additional period. So that it was an opportunity l'chaper. So what are we going to say now if not only we're not mechaper and mitaken, but we're even mosif? Asher tzivita b'yad avadecha nevi'im le'mor. That which you told us with all of your Nevi'im, Ha'aretz asher atem ba'im l'rishta, Eretz nidahi, b'nidat amei ha'aratzot, Lashon of nidah is to be nad, to be removed from. This land has been damaged. It's a country that leads you into the most filthy abominations because of the way that the people that lived there were. And as the measure says, the worst possible time in all of the history of the immorality of the people in Eretz Yisrael was at the time that Bnei Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. And this has left an effect. I think it doesn't leave an effect. That when you live there, that there's a supreme sensitivity to this. And this is what they warned us, as Yoshua did, as Moshe Rabbeinu warned us. Of course, it really didn't say that about all of them. Again, he mentions Moavi in his introduction of terrible things, Ketoavot, and then he brings, that's the only one that it says, it's a special halacha. So again, what he's doing is he's conflating all of the various things that were nogea, any of the Ummas, to show how they, even to the point that there's some of them that we weren't even allowed to act humanely toward. So this is what we've done. The reason for this was Laman Techezku, that you should be able to hold on to Eretz Yisrael. V'achaltem et tuva aretz, v'arashtem livnechem ad olam. Can you believe, acharei kol haba aleinu, after everything that has happened to us that we've gone through, k'ma'asinu ha'ra'imu b'ashvantinu ha'gdola, all of our own fault, and you have gone easy on us, way less than the way that we've been chote. And because of no great achievement of our own, you've given us this little opportunity, an escape from all of these horrors. So now we're supposed to again go back to be made for the mitzvahs. If we do that, will you not simply destroy us until nothing is left? What immense tzitkas you've shown us in not destroying us and giving us this new opportunity. We stand in front of you in our horrific guilt, and we have nothing to say. We have no way to justify the way that we've acted. Now, he didn't say a word to the people. He simply did this, where everybody could see his reactions. And his reactions are what indeed move the people to respond. Very likely, had he gone and drawn everybody together and given a big musar shmuz, nobody would have responded at all. They would have argued about, it's mutter, this, that, this shita, that shita. Just because you paskin against it, we follow the other shita. No, seriously, it would have boiled down to an argument about halacha. And again, halachically, it may be that there's no issur that, was involved. What he needed to do was establish with an act of hina. This was his hina. He obviously couldn't act bekana'ut against people, but his kana'ut could be to show the passion, which is what hina is, to show the passion of his reaction, and that would have the same impact as the kana'ut. You'll notice when we spoke before about Aaron, that Aaron is only justified in Pinchas, as the Zohar says. Here too, we're meyachis him back through Pinchas to Aaron to give that sense of where it is that he's coming from to be metaken.